Hi, my name's Julie Macken and welcome to More Civil Societies, which I think is one of the most optimistic names for a program I have ever heard. Optimism's pretty thin on the ground at the moment. I think the drought, the fires, international leadership, use that term loosely, being provided by clowns like Trump and Boris Johnson, and our own national politics, the pathetic public policies that are being produced at the moment, all of this gives us cause to be pretty pessimistic. But I wanted to look for hope today. I wanted to look for places of change. And I've begun by looking in a pretty weird place, the ill-named Christmas Island. While their future remains uncertain and frightening, there is much to celebrate in the story of Priya and Nades, their two little kids, the little family from Bilawila. The broader community's response of outrage to the Dawn raid on the family's home, the over close to 300,000 signatures demanding their return, the visuals of Barnaby Joyce joining Greens MP Jenny Leong, Labor Senator Christina Keneally and Alan Jones to demand that the Prime Minister let them stay. These are all signs of real hope, not just for the family, but also for the nation. Let me explain. Emmanuel Levinas was a French Jewish philosopher who worked with the French resistance during the Second World War and was caught and was put in a labour camp. He developed a philosophy and a kind of ethic. And it began, he kind of introduced it by telling the story of Bobby. Bobby was a camp dog who made Levinas's life in the concentration camp possible. Levinas described how a person and a people can reclaim the lost humanity by talking about Bobby, the dog. Every morning, Levinas would go out on a labour gang and work. Some would be worked to death that day and the rest of them would return home. And here Levinas is talking about Bobby and he says, Bobby would appear at morning assembly, and then he was waiting for us as we returned. He was jumping up and down, barking with delight. For Bobby, there was no doubt that we were men. He finishes by saying this dog was the last Kantian in Nazi Germany. From here, Levinas went on to develop an ethical or a philosophical position where he argued that when we beheld the face of the other, and that's other with a capital O, when we held this face in our hands and looked into the eyes of the other, we were driven to compassion. We were in relationship. We could not kill them. That in recognizing the face of the other, we were grounded in our own shared humanity. We became ourselves, not through ourselves, but through the other. And there was a demand to care. It's all about the face. It's all about a relationship. And both the Coalition and previous Labor governments know this. They've recognised the truth of this position, and that's why they've put refugees behind razor wire. That's why they have removed the names of these folks and replaced them with numbers, as if that wasn't a chilling reminder for all of us. That's why the broader community has never had the chance, like the community of Bilawila has, to get to know some of these folks as our neighbours, as our friends, as, you know, the fellow who works so hard in his day job and then turns up volunteering at St V's, or the wonderful woman who cares for her family and friends and still finds time to cook up a storm for the folks in the local hospital. And that's why they remain hidden in offshore camps, getting brutalised and going crazy with the madness induced by our detention system. I reckon there is a very real sense of shame about Australia's treatment of refugees. It is not something that we Australians talk about much publicly, is it? It's like a terrible family secret, a terrible shared family shame that we have really not much of a way to talk about. In turn, this shame that we've got gets added to other shames, to other hurts, to other disappointments, to other moments where we as a people have fallen so far short of our own humanity. The national ledger starts tipping toward melancholia and depression. This shows up in skyrocketing numbers of people being treated for depression, in the terrible growth of loneliness and alienation, the loss of trust that's been reported on in numerous places. It really feels like there is a pall across the community today. And that's why this defence of this family is so important, because it reminds us that we are a people that when we see and know the face of our neighbour, we are still able to care for them. We are still able to fight ferociously for their well-being and safety. We see ourselves and we see each other fighting to care for people who need our care. This increases our trust in each other. We began to look at each other with pride, not shame. This is something to make us proud. It's a fight to protect the family, but on some level I think we all know that it's also about protecting what is left of our own collective humanity. That's why every time a reporter asks Dutton about the family, Dutton's first response is to try and avert our gaze to the thousands of Sri Lankans who've been denied our protection and encourage us to think about them. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to think about them. I'm not saying we don't need to rethink our whole refugee policy. And frankly, those thousands of Sri Lankans may very well be in trouble and need to come here too. But I am saying Dutton uses this strategy to avert our gaze from our friends and from our relationships onto people and ideas of people that we don't know, because that diffuses our concern. It diffuses the power of our compassion. Watch him do it every single time. Every single time someone talks about prayer or the kids and talks about relationship, he will talk about abstracts. That's how this thing works. This, of course, you know, this little family needs to be brought home and cared for. But we also need to be brought home and cared for. And we can do that collectively. We can bring ourselves home. We can bring ourselves back to a place of pride in each other, trust in each other, feeling good about who we are and each other. We need to end this brutal policy because it is reducing ourselves and our communities to rubble. We need to see ourselves as capable of caring for the other, because of course, ultimately in the end, we will all become each other. We will all be the other. We need to know that someone will care for us when that happens.